Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited, hosted by MUFG Intime. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Khaitan from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss Q1 FY27 results of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited. To discuss the results, we have from the management, Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, Chairman and Joint Managing Director, Ms. Ritu Mittal, Joint Managing Director and CEO.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sumit, sir. Your voice is breaking.
Yeah, now it's audible?
Yeah, now it's better.
Yeah. So they will take you through the results and the business performance, post which we will proceed for Q&A session. Before we proceed with the call, a small disclaimer: this conference may contain certain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectations as on date of this call. The actual results may differ materially. These statements are not guarantee of the future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is also been given in the company's investor presentation. With this, I would now like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning. I, Dr. Somnath Chatterjee, welcome you all to the Quarter 1 FY27 earnings conference call of Suraksha Diagnostics. We are indeed pleased to report a very strong start to FY27, with continued progress across financial performance, clinical capabilities, and our strategic initiatives. For Quarter 1 FY27, Suraksha delivered a year-on-year revenue growth of 21%, with an EBITDA growth of 28%, and a remarkable PAT growth of 40%. We believe this performance reflects the strength of our underlying business and the continued excellent execution of our long-term strategy. Suraksha continues to strengthen its position as an integrated diagnostic service provider in Eastern India. Our focus remains on building deeper clinical capabilities and staying ahead of the curve in technology, while continuing to improve our accessibility and patient experience. During the quarter, Suraksha Genomics continued to demonstrate encouraging traction. The vertical recorded a revenue of 13.7 million rupees, registering a 136% year-on-year growth, with five consecutive quarters of sequential growth. While this remains a small base today, we believe it has the potential to become a meaningful pillar of the business as we scale the platform. We continue to build capabilities across prenatal diagnostics, inherited diseases, pharmacogenomics, and oncology-focused molecular panels, while also working towards areas such as whole genome testing, metagenomics, and AI integration. Here, we would like to mention that we have just introduced a blood test for Alzheimer's disease, with excellent feedback from the doctors. Also, we have started a project on early detection of Alzheimer's disease from plain brain MRI with the help of artificial intelligence. This is done by a team of neurologists and neuroradiologists from Suraksha with the help of CSIR. Our technology initiatives and strategic partnerships are also progressing well. helping us strengthen our clinical capabilities and explore new opportunities in advanced diagnostics, research, and technology-led healthcare solutions. We believe these collaborations will continue to complement our in-house capabilities and create meaningful opportunities over the long term. We remain focused on combining clinical expertise, technology, and strategic collaboration to build a differentiated diagnostic platform for Eastern India and adjacent geographies. With this, I would like to invite our CEO, Mrs. Ritu Mittal, to provide the financial and operational update for Quarter 1 FY27. A very good day to you all, and thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chatterjee. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I am pleased to report that Suraksha has begun FY27 on a very strong footing. The quarter reflects healthy business momentum and continued execution of our expansion strategy. During Q1, we commissioned one hub and three spoke centers, consistent with our strategy of anchoring clusters and then building density around them. We have carried this momentum into the current quarter as well, adding two hubs and three spoke centers in July and August. Importantly, we have also extended our footprint beyond West Bengal with the commissioning of a hub center in the neighboring state of Jharkhand, while a hub in Tripura will follow shortly. This marks an important step in our journey of building a broader regional presence across eastern and northeastern India. As we continue to expand our network, our focus remains on ensuring that the newer centers ramp up efficiently. We remain acutely focused on improving throughput and capacity utilization across recently launched centers while maintaining disciplined execution of our expansion plans. At the same time, we continue to pursue cost efficiencies by leveraging our centralized procurement and existing infra. This will remain important as we scale the network and progressively improve operating leverage. I will now take you through the brief overview of our financial performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2026. For Q1, the company reported total income of INR 887 million compared to INR 735 million in Q1 FY26, registering a year-on-year growth of 21%. EBITDA stood at INR 315 million compared to INR 247 million in Q1 FY26, with EBITDA margin at 36% compared to 34% in the corresponding quarter. PAT stood at INR 128 million compared to INR 92 million in Q1 FY26, registering a year-on-year growth of 40%. PAT margin for the quarter stood at 14.7%. On the operating side, patients served stood at 0.38 million, while tests performed stood at 2.10 million. Tests per patient stood at 5.56. Revenue per patient is INR 2321, and EBITDA per patient stood at rupees 835. Our network stood at 72 centers at the end of the quarter, following the addition of one hub and three spoke centers during Q1 FY27. On center-level profitability, our mature centers delivered a 40.9% EBITDA margin in Q1 FY27. Centers under 2 years old turned profitable for the first time at 6.5% EBITDA margin from negative 5.5% last quarter. This is the ramp-up we have been building towards, and we expect it to continue. We expect their contribution to strengthen as they scale. Overall, Q1 FY27 has been a strong quarter with healthy revenue growth, strong operating profitability, and continued network expansion. We remain focused on improving throughput, driving operating leverage, and progressively enhancing profitability as our new centers mature. With that, I would like to thank everyone for joining the call. And I would now like to open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Om from Philip Capital. You may proceed.
Am I audible?
Hello.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
First of all, congratulations on the good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. First, can you throw some light on the margin expansion of 400 bits? And can we reach around 33-34% by the year FY 2028 financial year 2029? And are the margins sustainable of mature and non-mature centers?
Can you come one at a time, please?
First of all, can you throw some light on the margin expansion of 400 bps?
So the margin expansion is, of course, because of the volume expansion. As the revenue scale up and our major fixed costs remain the same, there is operating leverage and the margin expands.
Okay. So can we expect 33-34% margins by the year end 2029?
We expect more by the year 2028-29.
Okay, and on sustainable basis, can we consider the margins of mature and non-mature centers to be sustainable going forward?
Yes, we do, because as we add more centers, and once again, as the fixed cost gets divided amongst larger number of centers, the mature center's profitability will definitely keep on increasing or be maintained here.
Okay. Second, I wanted to ask on the genomics business, if you can throw some light on its growth trajectory going forward.
So we are quite positive about the incremental growth that is coming from the genomics business. The adoption has been really good in the medical fraternity, and people are becoming more and more about our the products and services that we are offering as of now in the market. So yes, we look at a strong continued growth in the genomics segment.
So sir, any guidance on lower basis?
Any guidance on?
On the business going forward.
So we are expected to grow in the same around 20 odd percent quarterly growth for this financial year. It is what we feel will happen.
Sure, sir. And sir, just the last question. Can you provide the CAPEX outlook for the financial year, and are we on the track to open 100 centers by FY20?
On track to open 100 centers by FY28, and the CAPEX will again be something around 70 crores to 80 crores this year.
Okay, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nile Parekh from Perpetuity Ventures. Please proceed.
Hello ma'am, am I audible to you?
Yes, you are.
Yes, so basically my first question was on this margin expansion in our this mature center. So can you just let me know what were these key, these structural drivers for the same?
So even our centers which are more than 2 years old have shown a revenue growth of around 12.5% quarter on quarter.
Okay.
And as we are scaling up, obviously the economies of scale is setting in, and therefore the margins for these centers are going up.
Okay, sure, ma'am. And also my the second question was, do we have kind of this this new guidance for our on this margins for FY 2027-28?
So FY 2027, we see quarter two again will be a strong quarter because that is the trend of the industry. Quarter three is a little muted because of the festivities that come in and the winter season. Again, quarter four is strong, so we believe that the EBITDA, overall EBITDA, will not go below 34%.
Sure, ma'am. Sure. All the best. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we proceed, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Siddharth K. from Tusk Investments. Please proceed.
Yeah, good morning everyone. Ma'am, I have one question. The genomics revenue of 1.37 CR, what was the split between B2B and B2C?
So for us right now, it is 80% is B2C and 20% is B2B.
Okay, but going forward, we are expecting B2B to be a larger share in genomics.
Yes, we would expect that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. I'll get back to the line.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Rajat Baldev from Kizuna Wealth. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question on the genomics. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, my question on the genomics business. So can you please throw some color on the demand side and what was our strategy or outlook for, like, say, 3 to 4 years?
See, the demand for genomics is going to keep on growing because as we basically accept the fact that oncology treatment is getting personalized, so almost all oncology specimens will need genomic study. And in this aspect, I would definitely like to throw some light, because Suraksha has been very progressive. It has actually acquired a GeneXus equipment, which is the latest in the world for fast genome sequencing. It is in the final stages of validation. So being the only equipment in the whole of Eastern India, we expect a phenomenal success for this equipment and the results coming out. You see, previously, an oncologist had to wait 14 to 17 days to find this study, which now has been brought down to 48 hours. So we think going ahead, genomics will play an important role in this. And regarding the strategy of how we are going to do it, I will ask Mr. Niren Kaul, our CSO, to tell in detail.
So genomics has been an under-penetrated market in the East. So what happens is, as being the most renowned and most trusted brand in East of India, Suraksha is supposed to build in more visibility, build in more awareness of the type of test available amongst the extended doctors who are practicing around the East of India. So once that happens, I think as a leader, we should be able to communicate and propagate the and educate the existing medical fraternity about these tests. And that is what shall give us a robust growth in the coming future.
Okay. And the second question on the margin side, so what gives us confidence to achieve 34% EBITDA margins? Given that in this quarter, the centers which are more than 2 years have achieved 40% margin. So is this a sustainable margin, and what are the strategies which Suraksha has to be followed to achieve 34% EBITDA margin this financial year? Just thought process on the margin.
Yeah, so the mature centers margins are definitely sustainable. And as we have become positive in the centers that are more less than 2 years old, we see a positive trend going forward because they have come to some scale and therefore the profitability has come. So we expect a minimum of 34% actually for the year.
Okay. And just one last question. What was the monthly run rate of the mature center which are more than 2 years and less than 2 years?
So my overall sales is 88 crores, and my less than 2 year center contributed around 8.5 crores, whereas the rest was from mature centers.
Okay, ma'am. And in the last quarter, you mentioned that our repeat rate is just 40%. So I just want some color that why our repeat rate has been going down from, let's say, 52% in FY22, FY23 to 40%.
It could be new centers.
No, so basically, as we are expanding our reach, new patients' numbers are increasing, and therefore the repeat patient looks to be smaller, but not if I look at the absolute numbers, they are not degrowing.
Okay, and what was our,
In fact,
what was
my
the...
patient volume growth has been 12.4% quarter on quarter.
Yeah, right. And what's the margin we earn on genomics business?
Genomic margins right now would be somewhere around 15% to 20%.
Okay, ma'am. Great. Thank you very much. Best wishes for FY27.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitaindra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. You may proceed.
Yeah, hi, Ritu ma'am. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, ma'am, my first question is on the growth. I mean, on our 42 mature centers, what was the like-for-like growth for this cohort? I mean, the overall revenue growth was 22%, and you called out.
Yeah, so the mature center showed a growth of 12.3% quarter on quarter.
On year on year, ma'am?
Yes, year on year.
12% year on year, you're saying?
Yes. For the same quarter when we are comparing.
Okay, got it. And ma'am, on the, you know, I see that the test volume has increased by 11%. So that means, like, you know, the revenue per test also kind of contributes somewhere around high single digit or more than that. So is it due to some mix change or, I mean, or did you increase some prices in some areas or,
No, it is due to the mix change. We've not increased any prices.
Okay. It's the test mix change, right? I mean.
Yes.
Okay. And the third question is, ma'am, I mean, there is a slide that you have given out, slide number 44. I mean, you have highlighted, like, how your chambers and the doctors, for the polyclinic model, you know, that is one of the key differentiating factors. So I was just wondering if you can, you know, give us some color on what is our, you know, how this is a, you know, differentiating factor here. I mean, are we relying more on just B2C, brand-based walk-ins, you know, or, you know, this polyclinic and doctor-based model kind of helps us, you know, attract more patients to our, like, you know, centers. You can give us more color on, you know, how this is.
Yeah, the only thing I would like to highlight here is that today patients are looking for convenience. Okay, and when we give them a place where they can consult a doctor, do the investigation, and show the doctor again, it becomes very convenient to them, and therefore this model is what we are working on. And we are seeing traction in the model. Like, if I compare the patient footfall for consultation, Y on Y, in June 25 to June 26, there's a growth of around 11%.
Right.
So because today everyone's looking for convenience, and of course it's a trusted brand in East India, so they also trust the doctors that we would get attached to.
Got it. Okay. And the final question, ma'am, on the mature cohort, I mean, I think it is 12% of that sort of a growth. I mean, as we densify and, you know, more, we open more centers, you think that, you know, there could be impact of cannibalization or, you know, some sort of, you know, volume impact on our, you know, mature centers?
There is always a bit of cannibalization when we set up spoke centers.
Right.
But overall, the business does not take a beating, and it caters to a wider area. Therefore, the patient reach becomes more for us. And we have not seen this trend going down.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please proceed.
Hello, ma'am. Thank you for taking the question.
Ma'am, I wanted to ask, even in the mature market, mature centers, this time we have 40.9% EBITDA. So would you ascribe that to just a volume growth, or is it like something else also contributing to that?
So there is, of course, there is volume growth, and also genomics is also contributing to that growth, because a lot of genomic tests also being written by these mature centers. And we have shifted our main track, or the main biochemistry business, from Siemens to Roche. There also we have negotiated a better deal, and therefore the margins are also expanding a little where cost of goods sold is concerned.
Got it. And on this new center, we have seen continuous improvement in terms of margins. Now it has come down to positive 6.5. So we expect this trend to continue, or how should we look at going forward?
Absolutely. When we talk about these centers in particular, the ones that have shown a trend of 6.5%, definitely this will continue growing forward. But again, new centers will be added in the quarter. So overall, there might be a little bit of a dilution. But as far as these centers is concerned, they will definitely keep showing a growing trend.
And how many more centers do we plan to open this year?
We plan to add 6 spokes and 3 hubs.
For the full year?
Yeah, apart from the ones we've already opened.
Got it. And ma'am, in terms of ROCE, ROE for the business, if we look at our numbers versus other national players, our numbers are on the lower side. So would you ascribe that to just this new center which we opened, or is it like something extra also which is there and we can bridge that gap?
No, it is only about the new centers. Today we have 45 mature centers and 27 are less than 2 years old. Some of them are only, you know, 3 months, 6 months old. And therefore, the ROCE is a little lower as compared to others in the industry, which is also not only compared to 3-4 players, we are lower. So that is only because of the new centers. And the mix is so skewed, therefore.
Got it. And in terms of industry cyclicity, you said Q2 is like the best quarter because this is like the disease season, rainy season. So how are the trends we are seeing in terms of July and August so far?
The trends are looking pretty good and robust. We are happy.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Rajiv Jain from Arcane Investment. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just have a couple of questions. So firstly, B2B continues to be an important part of the diagnostic business, but as we see, the realizations can be relatively competitive in this segment. So how are you balancing B2B volume growth with maintaining healthy realizations and margin? If you could throw some light on that.
B2C does not have a margin challenge until and unless you go for a very deep discounting in collection centers. So we don't play that game. We have patients walking into our centers, paying the full price and getting tests done. So B2C does not have a margin challenge for us.
And is it similar for B2B as well? If you look
at B2B definitely will have a margin challenge, but then the volume makes up for it.
Understood, understood. On a different front, what are the current CapEx requirements for setting up a hub versus a spoke center? If you could throw some light on that.
So, typically for us, for a hub center, it takes around 10 to 10.5 crores. And a spoke center takes 1.5 to 2 crores.
Understood, understood. And how long does a newly opened spoke typically take to reach break-even?
So a spoke, the center level break-even happens in 3 to 4 months, whereas the HO level break-even takes 8 to 9 months.
Understood, understood. All right, ma'am. All right, that's all from my side. Thank you for answering my question and all the best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Riddhi Vora from SAF Capital. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so I have a question that do you expect the radiology's contribution to revenue to increase or decrease over the next few years?
No, we expect it to remain similar. Because, you know, we are adding a lot of esoteric imaging tests, but at the same time, we are adding a lot of genomic tests, which fall under the PATH category. So we think the ratio will remain unchanged.
Okay, okay. Understood, understood. How scalable is the genomic business without substantial incremental CapEx?
So the capex that we have already incurred on the genomics aspect is done. So we do not see any additional major capex in investment in next 2 to 3 years. So I am sure there is enough to leverage from the existing capex that we have.
Okay, okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, on these collection centers, 214 collection centers which we have, so are these majorly franchisee-owned?
Yeah, these are, all of these are franchisees.
Okay. And ma'am, then how do we decide whether we want to go for a collection center or we want to open a spoke? So how does the management, you know, decide between both these two formats?
So normally we go in a concentric approach. So we open a hub center and around it we open spoke centers. Beyond that we open collection centers. And when we see that one collection center location is doing very well, then we add a spoke there. because collection center does not hardly have any capex.
Right.
Therefore, that.
Right. But then when you are opening a spoke, the business of the franchisee would get affected then, right?
Yes, it would.
So it is franchisee owned center is mostly a blood collection center only. So they do not possess the capability of doing radiology tests. So when we see there is a significant amount of blood collections that are going from that particular territory, we come up in that territory with a spoke center with some set of ultrasounds and x-rays and echo. So that's how we take the next step.
And we shift the existing franchisee to a further location.
Further location, yes.
Understood. Got it. And now, if I have to understand the Kolkata market, how many hubs and spokes currently we have in Kolkata, and what amount of hubs and spokes can we open to, you know, fully penetrate that market?
Okay, give me 1 minute.
Hello, ma'am, are you on the line?
Yes.
Yes, just give me a minute.
Okay, sure. No problem.
So in Kolkata, or we actually consider greater, okay, only Kolkata, we have we have 5 hub centers in Kolkata, and we have 6 spoke centers in Kolkata, in proper Kolkata. And we believe we can add another 3 hubs and at least 6 spokes in Kolkata itself.
And what would be our indicative market share in Kolkata?
So, Kolkata has a population of around 2 CR approximately, if we'll just estimate that. So when we say Kolkata, Kolkata is not just the district or the town Kolkata. Kolkata is a greater Kolkata area as well, which covers parts of North 24 Paragana's and some corner of Howrah Hooghly as well. So that is a bigger territory. So the numbers that we shared right now are proper Kolkata district. Okay. So if we say broadly in the current scheme of things, what we feel there is a good number of hub locations that we think will cover in next 2 years. And it would be much higher because these 3 hubs and 6 spokes in Kolkata is just in the district, the town Kolkata, right?
But in greater Kolkata, we have 9 hubs.
We currently have 9 hubs, and there is a scope of at least, if I'm not being too optimistic, there is a scope of double the number of these counts. So as per the current visibility, the market is determining where we put a hub or a spoke. So at the current stage, we are sure that there is enough and more potential in greater Kolkata area, and the existing number of hubs can be doubled.
Got it. Understood, sir. And what would be our indicative market share in greater Kolkata? And see, in India, if we look at diagnostic industry, the organized players have a market share of around 15% to 20%. But for our geography, would you say it is similar, or the organized share is a little lower?
Organized player would be a little lower.
Yes, because
in East India.
Yes, East being East, it is still under penetrated for an organized player. It is mostly mom and pop store and small diagnostic centers who are matlab, catering to larger volumes, blood collection volumes.
And the, so among the organized players, are we the largest?
Yes, of course.
Got it. And now, sir, now for the next 3 to 4 years, would it be fair to say that majority of our new centers would be in Kolkata and rest of West Bengal, and we would be opening just a single or two centers in the newer territories like a Jharkhand or a Northeast? Would that be a fair assessment?
So Jharkhand, like we have already opened one hub, we plan to open another one this year, and then we will fill it up with at least 5 spokes. So Jharkhand will give us some meaningful business. Assam, we already have a hub. We have commissioned 1 spoke this quarter. We are in the process of building another spoke in Assam. And we are adding Agartala in Northeast.
Understood. Got it.
We have some districts in West Bengal which are still uncovered by Suraksha. So we plan to move there as well.
Got it. And lastly, on wellness, so what would be our contribution for wellness test?
Our wellness piece right now must be around 4 to 5%. You know, we, with the change in the political scenario here, we believe a lot of industries will come, and therefore our corporate sales or wellness piece should also pick up over the years.
Got it. Sure, ma'am. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Nile Parekh from Perpetuity Ventures. Please proceed.
Thank you, ma'am, for taking my this follow-up question. So just wanted to know, this 12.5% of this revenue growth would be sustainable ahead for this mature center?
Yes, because you know they are also contributing meaningfully to our genomic business.
Okay, sure. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Siddharth K. from Tusk Investment. Please proceed.
Yeah, I just have a clarification. So we are opening 4 hubs and 7 spokes this year. Like, we have already opened 3 hubs and 6 spokes. Am I right?
Yes, we've already opened 3 and 6. And we plan to open 3 hubs and 6 spokes more.
In the PPT, it is showing 4 hubs and 7 spokes.
Yes. So in the upcoming is 3 hubs and 7 spokes. Sorry. 4 hubs and 7 spokes.
7 spokes. Right. And ma'am, my second question is regarding the genomics. What is the market size in India? And with the current capex which we have done in genomics, what kind of revenue can we see from genomics in like 2-3 years time?
Well, it is quite subjective as of now because it has a huge potential. So the thing that we have entered into it with a lot of capex commitment and our own resolve that we will be able to educate the market and build it as a strong pillar of our organization.
Okay. Any ballpark number in terms of the market size in India? What is the market size in India in terms of revenue for genomics?
So, any...
It is difficult to say this because what you have around is global data. But specifically in India, it should be reaching a figure of around 450 million by the year 2030.
Okay.
The good point about what Mr. Paul was saying is his lab is totally equipped to handle all technology that is prevalent globally as of today. So that puts Shuroka in a very enviable position, that the infrastructure, there are 6 or 7 PhD scientists in the lab, there is a bioinformatics team in the lab, so the lab is very well equipped to handle any kind of genomic test. So that's how the future has been mapped at Shuroka.
Right. That was very helpful. Thank you for that. My last question is regarding any inorganic acquisition. Are we looking at any inorganic acquisition this year or maybe in the future?
We keep on exploring opportunities. If we get something which is good quality and good price, we will definitely explore it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. That will be it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we proceed, a reminder to the participants, in order to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Mohammed Patel from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
So what is the kind of investments that we have done in the genomic capacity?
Over 3 years, we've spent around 22 crores.
Okay, and can we, you know, assume an asset turnover on this just to understand what's the peak revenue potential?
So, what we can tell you is the mature genomic labs in the country today only dealing in genomics have turnovers between 100 to 250 crores. And that is the number one, starting from the number one lab to number two, number three, their turnover.
And we are the only genomic lab based out of East India.
Okay, what is the kind of investments I think they would have done?
So their investments would have been much more because they established 10, 12 years, 15 years back. So they had to, you know, the genomics has gone into a very high space of technology augmentation over this period. So their investment would have been much, much higher.
Okay, understood. Yes. My next question is, so approximately, you know, whatever centers we add on a per annum basis, how much of that, you know, should be in the new territories? Any approximate percentage in the next 3 to 4 years?
Would you please repeat the question?
Whatever number of centers we add per annum in the next 3 to 4 years, how much should be the new territories apart from our existing core territories?
Oh, it should be mostly...
So I think it should be around 50-50 because we are expanding into newer geographies and we will be deepening our penetration. And also in the existing geography, we still see enough room for growth.
Okay. Last question is that in the last con call, you had mentioned, you know, 15% revenue guidance. And if you look at our peer who I think this is much, you know, larger in scale. So they also guide for much higher revenue guidance. So why do we guide for 15% revenue guidance?
So we have been a bit conservative over it. We have a very, very new organization. We are just coming to terms at our pace and everything. So that is the reason. Otherwise, there is no dearth of effort in the organization. We put in our best effort and the results would speak for themselves.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Before we proceed, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Bhavya Sanghvi from Phillip Capital. Please proceed.
Yes. Good afternoon, ma'am. First of all, I had this question regarding, did we see any CGHS benefits flowing for us during the quarter? Because the realizations look quite strong in Q1 FY27.
Yes, there has been a CGHS rate increase in the mid of October 25, so which has a incremental benefit to it. Our corporate public sector corporate contribution mostly is around 15%. That had seen a good decent increase in due to the rate correction.
Could you quantify your benefit which is on the top line from the CGHS price revision in the quarter?
1.5 or some, in that kind of this thing.
Okay, understood. My second question was regarding a test volume growth. So we have done around 10 to 11% growth in this quarter, right? So if I look at the previous two quarters and compare it year on year, we had been doing around 20% plus sort of volume growth. So any particular reason for a decline in the test volume growth this quarter?
Nothing very specific.
So test volume growth?
Test volume or patient volume growth are you talking about?
Test volume, sir.
Test volume has increased.
Yeah, I understand, but the pace of growth has reduced. That is the question. So we have some 10% growth from realizations and 10% from volume, right? That's how it has been in 1Q FY27. But over the last two quarters, it's been around 20% growth sort of for our test volume over the last two quarters.
So we'll evaluate that.
Understood. And sir, in terms of our lab additions, so we have been talking about adding close to 20 labs in FY27, right? So in FY26, we had done around 13. And plus, you are talking about having 50% of your labs beyond your core regions of Kolkata and West Bengal. So do you foresee any sort of margin pressure in FY28? Since FY27, we had a strong start, so we have done around 34% in Q1 itself. So do you foresee any margin pressure from 28 onwards?
No, we expect the margins to increase.
Yeah.
Despite we focusing on newer geographies?
Yes.
Okay. Understood. And could you just help me out with the realization, average realization for a genomic test? A ballpark number would be good enough.
So this is a tough question to answer because some genomic tests would go to a half a lakh of rupees and even more, and few would be around about 4,000 or 5,000. So it is tough to give you a ballpark average number. So... And it does not give a clear picture on anything, actually, looking at this number. We were also wondering what to, how to average out the genomic, but it generally...
I think once we track 3-4 quarters,
yeah,
and we've added a lot more tests that we are planning to add,
yes,
then maybe this average price would play out.
Yeah.
Okay, understood. And just one last question. So if I look at the industry growth as a whole, it's sort of accelerated in Q1 FY27, right? So generally Q1 is supposed to be an unseasonal quarter. We see around a normalized sort of growth, but this time around the industry has seen some strong growth. So any particular reason which has led to such strong growth, if you could just comment on it, would be quite helpful. Thank you.
Not really. I think for us it has been expansion of new centers and them panning out.
Okay.
That has been...
Okay, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for patiently answering the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We would like to thank everyone for joining the call. And from our side, the management side of Suraksha, we remain committed to give excellent service, to bring newer tests, and also to perform excellently in the business sphere of things. We wish you all a very good rest of the day as it goes. Thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you. On behalf of Suraksha Diagnostics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.